All right, y'all come on in. Gonna get these screens cleaned up, and I swear to God, I'm not naked. Want to raise this chair up. Oh, I just look like I'm just like, hey, y'all, it's topless Sunday. I decided to wear my casual, but be ultra casual. Oh, me. I love these types of tops, but I swear they like, I guess it's the way that. Like how low my seat is. I just look butt naked. I do. I'm gonna have to raise up. I don't like put that on the internet. Put that on the when we open the men's wing. This is how we coach. Oh. And hey, before y'all start panicking, I'm not opening a men's wing soon. Like I was just joking. We always joke about having a men's no BS. I want one. But Corinne's got to have the time to do the women's no BS. So y'all give me plenty to do. Okay, so today's a little different. We're gonna do something new and something cool. I don't even know if y'all know what we're doing. Let me get my attendees up. Okay. The first part, not saying it's gonna take a whole hour. Y'all are gonna be part of a live podcast recording. So I have this wild idea and I want to try it for just for a little bit and I want to see how I like it. But I will just tell y'all, since this is consistency month, I have been very consistent with my podcast. It launched, I think, in 2017. I have not missed a week. Like I have done like that is like I am in the 1% club of podcasters who start a podcast and continue to do it. And I would say 90% of my podcasts are freshies. About 10% of them have every now and then we've taken a compilation of like maybe some of the little 365s and put them in or whatever. But I mean, that is, like we're coming up on in November, episode 500. And just so y'all know, Kathy and I are going to Wonder Twins reunite for it. And we're going to do a special look back on. Just me and her, and what we like, how much we have personally changed in 9 years since we started. That is hard to believe that Kathy has been with me 9 years. I think my podcast started in 2017. I don't think I'm lying about this. Somebody do some math. If November is going to be 500 episodes, like just divide that by 52 and somebody tell me about when that would be. Yeah, like somebody. I don't know. I think it was in 2017. I'm almost sure. I'm starting my 10th year. Oh my God. Well, this is what I find amazing is that it's not even so much that I just feel like a fucking dinosaur because I've been going since 2007. So there's that. But to just like, I don't know, for some reason, all of a sudden it made me see, feel like it's been a long time if it's 9 years with Kathy. I still remember her and I talking every day on her way home from working for the state. And she hated working there. And we started talking about her coming full time to work with me and what a big deal that was going to be for her. Because if she stayed a little bit longer, her retirement was going to be different, her pension. And, you know, just like when Chris rolled the bones and decided to leave his 25-year corporate career to come and work for me. Kathy did the same thing. I mean, it took some stones to do that. So anyway, I'm glad she did, but God, that's just crazy. It's like I'm going down the little old memory lane today. So, all right. So anyway, I'm going to do a live recording of the podcast. I just want to see how it is. So this is how you will help me, okay? I'm teaching y'all something, and I'm teaching y'all why. You keep starting your diet over 9.5 years. Thank you, Nancy. Why you keep starting your diet over every Monday? That is going to be the topic of our podcast that we're going to be doing together. And what y'all can do to help me is once I teach it, if there's any questions you have, just pop them in the Q&A and I'll answer any questions that are specific to that topic. And then I'm going to cut it and then we're just going to get to regular coaching. Y'all can get coaching on this or you can get coaching on anything you want today. And then you can ask any questions you want. This is not going to be a whole podcast thing, but I just like to kick off consistency month. I really wanted to start with this. So my team will know how to edit everything. So we don't have to worry about like if something gets screwed up, like we'll just tell them, cut that shit out, whatever. Let's see. Somebody said, I remember when Kathy came on full time and her talking about the decision to leave corporate. I know. It's just so crazy. Somebody said, I found Laura Gary. Hey, Laura. Like, Laura Gary, as if I don't know who you are, found you in July of 2017. So if you started in November, was it 2016? I don't know. It's been going a long time. That's all I know. Somebody going over to losing 100. Maybe if anybody's brave enough to scroll all the way down to episode one. That would be cool. But Kathy and I are going to talk all about it because the podcast has changed, not even because she's not on it every, all the time, but even the way that I do it has changed just in terms of doing some more. I'm really trying, like, y'all, I just want to tell y'all before we even get started. I've been really thinking about, like, all right, the next 10 years of no BS. What do I want to go to my grave to be known for? It's like a question I ask all the time. I'm always thinking about my legacy. I'm always thinking about like if I could have like one impact on women's lives, what would it be? When I lost my weight, I really thought the impact I wanted was I knew that I wanted women to feel good because I remember telling Chris that I felt so good for the first time in my life, like the first time in my life. I'm not joking. I don't remember anything before losing weight, me ever truly being happy. And it wasn't because I was fat. It was because of how I talked to myself. I think being overweight and the way I grew up and a lot of those things, I think had a lot to do with my self-talk. And then my weight was a reflection of my self-talk. But it was never because I was overweight. I had never worked on how I treated myself. I'd always just talked to myself and just thought that was just this just the way it is. You got to put pressure on yourself. You got to stress out about stuff. It's to me, it wasn't weird to worry about what other people thought about me all the time. There was nobody talking about what goes on in your head back then. Like no one. And so I really thought that it was just like the way I think is just like I knew I was like I knew that I probably had low self-esteem, but I also didn't really appreciate that not everybody stressed about things like I did, and everybody didn't worry about other people's opinions like I did, and people didn't always feel like they're behind in everything like I did. I don't know. It was so weird. So when I lost my weight and I felt better, I knew I had told him, I said, I've never been happy before and truly this happy. I want other women to feel this way. And I thought at that time that losing weight was how it was going to happen. So, cut to now, this is 2007. When I think about what it is I really want for women, the vehicle to get there is weight loss, but it is the emotional eating. Like, I scroll through Instagram every day and I follow tons and tons of fitness influencers and people who help other people. And you wouldn't believe how many people out there say that they are no BS weight loss. And I'm like, I'm the OG. Fuck you. You are not no BS weight loss. And none of them are talking about emotional eating. I saw somebody today. I actually like this guy's account. He's probably like, I mean, just. It's not all common sense. He wants you to like, he does a lot of talk about hormones and insulin and tracking your food and stuff. But and I don't think any of that is bullshit at all. But he stops right there and is like, this is why women can't lose weight. This is, like when we work on all of these things, because you can't just work on calories. Y'all have all tried it. You can't just cut foods out and you can't just do calories. But they think the reason why you can't just do that is because of like just insulin regulation and hormones and stuff like that. I'm like, well, explain to me why when I was 16, when I had the best hormones in the world, I was sitting in my bed every night eating food. Tell me why I was doing it back then. I didn't have an insulin problem back then. I wasn't menopausal. It wasn't none of that. My issue was, I mean, from as long as I can remember, food made me feel better. Period. It always made me feel better. If nothing else, it could numb me out so I didn't have to be so stressed, so anxious, so worried. And so that's what I really want to be known for. I don't want to be just known for the chick that lost 100 pounds or the chick who can help you lose weight. I really want to be known for the woman who changes people's lives through weight loss. Because you walk in probably stressed, anxious, frustrated with your life, feeling hopeless, feeling like a failure, all the things, and you walk out and you feel like a completely different person. And you look like a different person, but you feel like a different person. I mean, y'all raise your hand. How many of you have lost a bunch of weight before? You felt like the same person. You still freaked out about your body. You still worried what everybody else thought. You still were stressed out all the time. You were still an anxious motherfucker. You just looked different. Yeah. And anyway, I could go on and on and on. For all of you who are closing in on maintenance or you're in maintenance, we are actively writing everything now. The first module is all done. We're ready to start writing your module two. It's all about the identity. It's all about like what changes when you enter maintenance. You know, it just, even if you lose it the way you want to live it, you're not guaranteed that when you get there that your brain doesn't freak out. For a lot of us, we haven't ever been there. And if we have been there, we've regained weight before. And so when we get there, we land there panicking and we land there afraid. And it's like we have a hot second of relief. And then the next thing we know, we are on guard and it's no way to live. And so, anyway, we have so many exciting things coming for all of you. So, with all that said, let's just start. Otherwise, I could literally talk to y'all all day long. I have got so many ideas and so many things going on for y'all, it is ridiculous. So, let me see what the questions are. First 100 pounds, according to Apple Podcasts, was April 14th of 2017. My story. All right, that's the official date. And then, how quickly did you feel a difference on BioOptimize? I'm doing the magnesium sleep breakthrough and wondered how soon I might see something shift. It takes a couple of weeks. I mean, like, it's not like you just take I take two pills of each one. It's not like the first day you take it, you're like, wow, But in my Oura ring, what I did notice, Nancy, is that when I started taking it was about 2 to 3 weeks. And all of a sudden, I was getting deep sleep. I noticed that just all of my metrics were now, I guess I call it the beige color. Because if they're like red, that's no good. And I was in orange and red a lot. And so then I went to that beigey color. So I like you need to give it a few weeks. Like I wouldn't think that it's just gonna like tonight, it's magnificent. Plus, I also got my mama on it. When did you start thinking that you could actually lose your weight? And what did you tell yourself before you fully believed it? This is straight honest. I didn't think that I could lose my weight, like lose all of it, until I'd lost 75 pounds. All the way to 75 pounds, I doubted like a motherfucker. Like the first, probably at least, I mean, the first 50, until I got to about right under 200 pounds, that first 50, I just was focused on what I was doing each day. I did not work on believing. Like it still was a foreign concept to believe. I'd spent my entire life overweight. It was too hard for me to go there. So I didn't worry about believing that I could lose weight. What I did do is I stopped telling myself I couldn't. I didn't tell myself I could. I just, every single time that I thought, I can't do this, you're probably going to regain it. You've always failed. This is just like the last time. You always get to this point and quit. Like, you just have to think your brain is wired to trigger its thoughts over and over and over again. So those things just didn't like really stop for a long time. But what I stopped doing was letting that be the one conversation that happened. I also stopped freaking out about it. I stopped freaking out that I wasn't believing. I stopped like thinking that I had to believe in order to lose weight because I knew I didn't. I was doing things and making changes and I didn't believe at all and I was losing weight. So I obviously didn't need to believe that I could in order to do it. I needed to stop saying I couldn't. And so every time like my brain was like throwing up the stuff, I'd just be like, well, we're just gonna focus on what we're doing today. We'll see. I guess we'll see. I guess we'll see. It was a lot of just like telling myself over and over again, I guess we'll see. Because I did know this, and this was like a connection that I had made in my own head. And that was, in order to lose weight, I had to focus on today because everything that I'd done in my past did not mean that what was going to happen tomorrow. Just because I'd done things in the past didn't mean that tomorrow, like today or tomorrow, was going to be a repeat. Like if you think about it, if let's say every day of your life you wrote with your right hand and someone kidnapped your child or your fur baby or someone you loved in the world and they said, hey, for the next year, if you don't write with your left hand, we're going to kill them. Well, you know, your entire past was they lived with you and they were alive and blah, blah, blah. And you like wrote with your right hand. They'd be like, just like saying, well, how do you change your future unless you believe? In that moment, I would be scared to death. I wouldn't be believing at all. To me, the only thing that you need to realize is that tomorrow's weight loss depends on decisions made today. If you want to base your decisions on your past, you'll screw yourself over. Or you can base your decisions on either what you want to for tomorrow, or you can base your decisions in each and every moment on one single thing. It's the best thing for me right now. I mean, that's really all it takes. But y'all get freaked out, and that I think that is what was different for me is I stopped freaking out because my mind said lots of stuff contrary. At some point, I just realized, like, man, my brain like really bitches a lot. And I called it old Corinne thinking and new Corinne thinking. Old Corinne thinking came in all the time. I'd be like, that's old Corinne thinking. New Corinne thinks today is what matters. Like, if I would think, like, say the scale didn't go down for a week, and I would think, oh, it's just like last time. I'd be like, ah, no, that's old Corinne thinking. Old Corinne always bitches and moans. Old Corinne freaks out. Old Corinne catastrophizes. New Corinne says, we're gonna have to wait one more week. That's what we do. And if you wanna bitch and moan all the way there and make it hard on yourself, probably not gonna do shit. Or we can just keep plugging along and telling ourselves, this journey will be as hard as you make it on the inside. And I don't think y'all realize that. So much of losing weight is sitting around over and over and over again, telling yourself how to think in the moment, not just listening to what you think or getting mad at what you think or afraid that you're thinking this. It's like nothing matters. I used to tell y'all this all the time. Get the last, all right. How many of y'all, let's just take with our partners. Now, how many of y'all are self-identifying as someone who wishes or likes to get the last word in? A lot of us. Then you need to be that with yourself. You know, a lot of times when we got an asshole in our lives, we can't always be the last word. Here's one place you get to always have the last word. You always get to have the last word with your brain. 100% of the time. So if you're the kind of person who like loves to get the last word in, likes to get that last dig in, likes to like be right. Like how many of you love to be right? If you love to be right, then tell your brain what's right. Quit letting it be wrong. Like, how many of you sit around and just let people around you be wrong all the time? And you're not voicing your opinion. Now, I know some of you don't do that, but that's why I said wish. Because a lot of you wish you could voice your opinion. You wish you could tell them what's right. You wish those things. Y'all are missing out on the most important person to ever get the last word in on, and the very most important person in the entire world to be right with. Your brain. Just think about like that part of your brain that like thinks negatively and all the bullshit. All right, just picture that annoying motherfucker in the world. That's who that is. So if you've ever wanted to be able to have your say, tell them, no, this is what we're going to be doing. Oh, no, you're wrong. Let me tell you the way it is. Then picture that person. That now gets to be that shitty part of your brain. Instead of cutting them out of your life or just following along with whatever they say or just holding in or whatever, like there's one place in the world for all of you who wish you had power and control and you can, decide the narrative and all this other stuff. It goes on in the 6 inches between your ears. That's that one place where you have that. Use it. All right. We gotta actually do the podcast. So here we go. All right, everybody, welcome back. So what we're gonna do today is we're gonna talk about why you keep starting your diet over every Monday. So I wanna talk about it because too many women are sitting around not understanding why this happens. I don't think it's a bad thing that anybody does it. Like for all of you, I do not think this is a bad thing. What I do think is you don't understand why you're doing it. And then once you understand why this thing keeps happening, because there's three reasons why, you're going to decide how you want to use the power of a Monday, the power of an any moment start, and all the gloriousnesses. Okay, so the first part we got to talk about, this is number one. This is everybody write it down. If you're listening to the podcast, you don't know, my private members are getting the velvet rope treatment. They're the VIPs today watching this. So they'll ask some questions at the end. Number one, we quit in the messy part. So a lot of you do not understand how habit change works. Your definition of habit change, let's all BS women. Here's what I hear from y'all all the time, especially all of you who are signing up to come to camp right now, because y'all are working one-on-one with me. You have this idea that when you watch a video, when I tell you the basics, like I've heard it, Corinne, I've heard it, I've listened, I've done that. I don't know why I'm not doing it. It's like you think that habits turn on like a fucking faucet. It's like you're not going to the kitchen and turning it on and be like, well, there's my habits. Habit change doesn't work that way. And if you don't understand that, you will be super inconsistent. You will never be consistent with anything. So here's the first part. When you start a habit, let's all pretend we're going to start asking, have I had enough at dinner? We want to form the habit of that this next month. All right. The very first phase is going to be times where you forget to do it. Now, why do we forget? Because it's new. You ain't gonna remember every single time. So if it's new, it makes sense that you forget sometimes. One of the analogies I use all the time is I'm right-handed. If somebody came in here right now and decided, like, fuck you, Corinne, and they put my hand on the table like a serial killer and smashed my hand with a hammer, then in tomorrow, when I gotta sign my ass out of the hospital, I might still try to reach with the pen with my right hand. Why is that? Because I haven't formed the habit yet of using my left hand. My brain will still try to signal to go to it, even when it fucking knows my right hand's throbbing. And then that could happen for weeks and weeks. I guarantee if it took 3 months for my hand to heal all the way through it, every time I would need, like, how many times a day do you think for 3 months I would try to reach for something with my right hand. A lot. That's why y'all have to understand that when you start like asking, we're going to use asking as enough as our thing. Some of y'all, what happens is you think you're being inconsistent when you're simply forgetting to do it. So whenever we start something new, we need to, like, number one, tell ourselves, it's not a bad thing if I forget. Because, like, when you, like, let's say you don't ask enough. That's why I always ask y'all, well, was this a remembrance thing or was this like an emotional thing? Like, we need to parcel this out. Sometimes y'all tell me, like, I just forgot. Like, I got through the meal and realized I didn't even ask. It's like, okay, all we have to do there is we just need cues and triggers. I tell y'all all the time, like, if you want to get used to it, every time you eat, set an alarm on your phone to go off at like the 5 minute mark so that you just ask yourself. Make it a game. If you've got kids, tell them, oh, mommy's doing this new thing. I'm going to start listening to my body to decide when I've had enough. Because that would be like a nice thing for your kids to learn, right? And then you say, y'all ask me. And somebody gets a prize if you ask, and it's the time I'm like, you know what? I'm at enough. Thank you, Johnny. You win today's prize, whatever it is. So we always want to figure that out. Now, here's the second reason during the messy part. So when we first start doing something, we're bad at it. This is why we quit. This is why we get inconsistent. This is why we start back on a Monday to erase all of the, like, oh, I just have a fresh start. So, when you are forming a new habit, there's always the part where it's messy. So, if we're stopping at enough, you're going to run into every excuse in the world to keep going. That means this is when we have to learn the skill of how do I override my excuses? What am I going to need to say in that moment? Can I get aware that that is just an excuse that is not something bad? It's not something I have to follow. What am I going to need to do in those moments? So a lot of times, like, y'all are quitting, like, it takes months for your brain to stop making excuses. It takes months for you to get good at stopping it enough. You will blow it sometimes. You will wonder if you're stopping at enough. 4 or 5 days will go by and you'll be like, I'm not stopping at enough. I think I'm actually a little bloated after 10 minutes. So I've got to learn from that. So, just for all of you, I just want you to think about, what is your tolerance level for being bad at something? Really think about it. I'm inviting you to not quit simply because when it's new and you're trying to get used to something, to not make being bad at something a problem. Instead, I am inviting you to make when you are bad at something a part of a process. A normal fucking thing that happens in everyone's life. If you think for a second, if you are going to learn to do new things, that somehow you get to escape being bad at things and forgetting things, welcome to regaining your weight. Welcome to starting and stopping every diet you'll ever try. Welcome to failing, because that's the ticket to entry over there. The insistence that you're somehow going to beat the system of how the brain works. The brain is like, bitch, I win every time. Every time. I'm wired this way. Get a lobotomy. That's the only way you can beat me. So we don't want to work against our brain. You got to change your fucking attitude about it. You have to start telling yourself, this is called the normal part. And I've been treating it as a bad thing. Remind yourself of that 1,000 times. I don't care how many times it takes you to do it. I want you wore out at the end of the day, every day, because all you're doing is thinking about how I'm not bad because I'm bad at it. It's because it's part of the process. And then the last part where y'all quit is for a habit, your brain is drawn to the old one. So whatever you've been doing, so just like when I smashed my right hand, my brain's like natural desire is to just do what it's always done. It does not care that my hand is broken. Hell, I would guarantee you that my brain would probably even try to stick a pen in there and somehow write like an asshole with my right hand instead of learn how to do it with my left, even if it caused pain. Because the brain literally doesn't care. Here's what it doesn't care about. It doesn't care about your whys. It doesn't care about how bad you want it. It doesn't care about what you've learned. It doesn't care about tomorrow. It's not wired to care. It's wired to be magnetized towards an old habit. But that doesn't mean you have to follow through on it. You just have to understand that every time you're wanting to do the old thing, that is just the brain wants to do it. So, like, stopping at enough. What is it that our brain wants to do? Clean our plate. Clean that fucking plate. I got 40 years of cleaning a plate. Hell, my mama even used to yell at me about it. My brain has a lot of reasons to every time I'm eating, going like, fuck that enough. We really should clean our plate. I mean, you don't want to waste food. You don't want to get in trouble. It is supposed to go there. When you see it as that is how the brain is supposed to go, instead of like, oh, fuck. When you do that shit, you feel like an asshole. You feel terrible. So if you want to bitch and moan through weight loss, another ticket to entry to restart land, regain land, start and stop land, wasting your money land. For some reason, y'all just paying for that ride over and over again with whining about how your brain works. I don't get freaked out when my brain doesn't want to do something. Because I just tell myself one thing, that's normal because I'm trying to do something else now. My brain is not yet magnetized to the new thing. And the only way for it to be magnetized to it is for me to do it when I don't want to yet, over and over again. And then one day my brain is like, I am a lazy motherfucker. I'm going to start asking you to do that thing. And then you will do it. And then sometimes you'll dread doing that thing, but it will feel grosser to not even do the thing you don't want to do. How many of you drag your sorry ass to the gym sometimes because you literally are someone who works out regularly? I'm one of them. I drug my sorry ass to the gym today. I had an ovarian cyst burst yesterday. It was not a pleasant morning. And it wiped me out. So I was like, there's no way I can go do leg day today. But also, like, I was sitting there all day long, just agitated, irritated, couldn't quit thinking about, like, ugh, I wish I could go do that leg day. Ugh. Even though I was really tired and I knew I shouldn't go. Then this morning I got up and I was like, ugh, why didn't I just go yesterday? And I had a lot to do today. But every time I thought about not going, my brain pitched a hissy fit. Like, well, you're gonna like not get your workouts done this week. Well, like, I thought you said you wanted your legs to look different. I mean, you've got to, like, my brain was like, no, we have to finish. So my brain was magnetized to that, even though I didn't want to go. That's how habits get formed. So if you don't want to be restarting all the time, if you don't want to be like every Monday is a new diet kind of girl, the first thing we have to do is we have to understand you cannot quit in the messy part of habit formation. You will forget because it's new. You will be bad at it. Like, especially when you're working with me, you're gonna be real bad at the basics. Because the basics are designed to not do perfectly. The basics are designed to illuminate what we really need to be working on. Anytime you're not stopping it enough, we want to know why. Because if you're not stopping it enough, because all day long you take it in the ass, and the only time you can relax is for 20 minutes during dinner before you're stressed again about the rest of the evening. I do not want you to be somebody who just stops it enough no matter what. I want to know that part of you so we can figure out how you aren't so stressed the other 23 hours and 40 minutes of the day. What do we need to do with how you think about yourself and what's going on in your life and the things you've not considered? Because I do not want you to be a size eight sitting there, that same lady. That is not the weight loss I want for you. If you're not going to lose your mental, emotional, and your physical weight, what the fuck are we doing? Like, I would feel like it's a disservice to do that to you. All right. So, the very first thing is we're not going to quit in the messy parts anymore. Give me a thumbs up if you're just like, all right, I understand, Corinne, there are messy parts coming, and it's my job to get used to that. It's my job to quit making the messy part worse by bitching. All right. The next reason why we start fresh on Monday is literally there is a heuristic in the brain called fresh start mentality. All this means is that your brain loves a fresh start. It likes to wipe the slate clean. It thinks like, oh, you know, like I'm going to start over on the first, on the Monday, on whatever, the new year, whatever. Because the brain has this weird trick it does where it says, oh, okay, well, to do this thing, if I can get a fresh start, I can erase the sins. I don't have to think about the failures. It's just like if I just took my hands right now, like I've got shit all over my desk, y'all can't even see. If I just swiped it all off to the side, I'd be like, oh, look at this beautiful cleaned off desk. We would love it. Well, the brain has a heuristic that does that. It feels magical for one reason only. Fresh start allows you to not think about what you were thinking about before you started. You don't have to keep waiting for a fresh start, like a Monday or a magical first of the month, to stop thinking about whatever it is you're thinking that's making things difficult right now. You get to have the last word with whatever's making it difficult. We get to look at what's making it difficult, and we get to free you of it by poking holes in it, seeing it from a new perspective. Just like so many of you feel like you're a failure at losing weight, and you never realized, I didn't realize that when I first start doing these things you tell me, Corinne, that the basics are supposed to highlight my emotional eating. I didn't realize I was supposed to be forgetting. I thought that I was just lazy. I thought that I was just dumb or hopeless. I didn't realize that I was supposed to be bad at this right now. And figuring out whatever I'm bad at, work with our coaches on how do I get better at this? What is this trying to tell me? I thought I was just broken. I had no willpower, that I was just inconsistent. That I just can't do things. You see, in order to be consistent, you go through a lot of inconsistency. The key to being consistent is to never give up. There is a lot of inconsistency between you and the person who actually starts doing things more often than not, most of the time, to where you're drawn there. And y'all have had it wrong this whole time. You thought consistency was a perfect streak. You thought it was check, 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 check. I do it right or I do it wrong. And when your definition is that limited and goes against how it works, it's no wonder it's easy to quit. So, fresh start mentality. Here's my power move for that one. You have to train your brain that any time is a good time to start. This is why I told y'all. Every time when I was losing weight, as often as I could, if something did, like if I overate, if I ended up emotionally eating, whatever it was, I would ask myself, what is my next best decision? And it was always to eat like it never happened at the next meal. Every single time. That meant I was immediately on track. Being off track lasted as long as the overeat. That doesn't mean we don't learn from the overeats. It doesn't mean you don't come to the coaches to dissect them. It just means the fresh start can happen anytime you're willing to shake it off, learn from what happened, and stop beating yourself up. So we want to tighten the window of when you fresh start. Here's the last part as to why we start over. It's all about how you talk to yourself. And this is the root of everything. The conversation you're having in your head right now is the one thing that decides if you lose weight or not. And if you don't like the conversation in your head, it's on you to start changing it. Not to bitch about it, not to whine about it, not to wish it would just go away, not to hate on it. It is to understand why it's there, understand what it's telling you. Talk to it, not at it. It's your job when you are losing weight to rewire how you think all the way down. It is the one thing that will make or break your diet more than anything. It will not be the gym. It will not be going on vacation and not being in control of where you eat. It will not be because you've got a hard season right now in life, like school's starting. I'm taking care of my mama with dementia. None of that stuff of extra projects at work, tax season. It's Christmas. Kids are out of school. None of that is stressful. It's how you think about all of it that compounds stress in you. And the way you talk to yourself about everything from what you're eating, your body, your capabilities, your like relationships, all of it, the more mindful you can become of what goes on in your ears, the more control you will have in your life. It won't make you control other people. The first person we want to get under control is us. And so that's why, like in No BS, I'm telling you all the time, if we ain't working on how we talk to ourselves, if we're not getting curious about why I think things at certain times and looking for new perspectives or just questioning things so that we don't just think this one thing, it's really hard to lose weight. Now you've put yourself in a position to where you have to use willpower. You have to use an incredible amount of discipline. And the problem with that is that a lot of your life takes discipline and a lot of your life takes willpower. And when you are shitty at how you talk to yourself, you're draining those resources all the time. And you're draining those resources on things that keep your children alive, that keep you making money, and that keep you safe. Your weight loss, I don't care how fucking miserable you are. I don't care how bad you want it. I don't care about all your whys. Your weight loss will fall to the bottom of the list in your mind, not because you're putting it there, but your brain ranks things like what keeps me safe first. If you need to get to your job every day and perform, your brain's going to rank that way over. It's going to use willpower there and it's going to have to use its discipline there. That's why I tell y'all, if you work on your brain, you get to use less willpower and discipline and rules and pressure and stuff all throughout your life. It won't just be in your weight loss, it'll be everywhere. And then everything starts getting better. And then when you're doing that, guess what else happens? You're not triggered to eat near as much because you're not feeling a lot like Like, let's say that you live a life where you're like, most of the time, you're riding between a 7 and a 10 on stress levels. It's like, well, you know, my job stresses me out. Well, you know, I'm worried about this. Well, you know, I don't feel good enough over here. Well, you know, I'm just sitting there every night, bored and lonely because, you know, my husband doesn't want to do shit and I really want to be doing all this stuff. If you're running between a 7 and a 10 all the time on your emotions, and I mean, we're up there with them feeling like big and insurmountable, and you're tired from them, you're gonna have no like ability to not turn to food. And when you work on your mind, we get to where we're riding between like a 3 and a 6 most of our life. And that's called the normal range. That's like normal daily stressors, normal days where it's like, you know, today, like yesterday, I was telling Jane, I said, I'm just off today. I was like, you know, I woke up, my guts were exploding, and it took me like a, you know, it was about an hour and 10 minutes of just felt like pregnancy cramps or pregnancy contractions. And I mean, a really good one, steady. So that wore me out. My mama's here, so I'm out of routine. I love my mother to death, but I really like my routine. So I was out of sorts on my routine. Logan wanted to go to breakfast, and I had promised him we would take her. And I drug my sorry ass there, even though I didn't want to. And then I had a lot of work to do. And so I just messaged Jane and I just said, you know, I'm gonna like get through this day. I said, but today's just one of those days where everything feels hard and everything feels heavy. And I just need to remember that it all feels really hard and heavy because I'm thinking, like, I don't like this. And I was just like, it's okay to feel that way. I wasn't a level 10. I wasn't freaking out about all of it. I was like a 6. And the 6 is manageable. And then you don't eat over a 6. You don't need to feed a 6. So I want y'all working your brain all the time. I want you thinking more about what you think about and question it. Bring it to me. If you're in Corinne one-on-one right now, bring it to me. I'll help you. I'm gonna tell y'all, since Tuesday when we opened it up, some of y'all are definitely using it. I think I've answered nearly 200 since Tuesday. Now, if it doesn't make a lot of sense sometimes, it's because I'm text-to-talk. So just know that my grammar is not that great when it's spoken. It's much better when I write, but use it. Go to ask coaches. Everybody has access to every coach on this team. There's no reason to not use them. If you think you have a reason, like, oh, no, somebody asked me the other day, is my question worthy? I'm like, well, yeah. If as long as you pay your $59 a month, your ticket to worthiness has already been punched on whether or not you can ask a question. All of you have access to it. I suggest you use it. So, this month, it's all about the consistency. You've got your new course on consistency. I want you using it. And every single day, you're getting your Corinne 365, which is your short audio. I recorded a bunch of them yesterday, and I'm going to tell you what, I was really fired up when I was recording them. Be looking for some fiery heat. So I want to end with telling y'all what I'm going to try to work on this month. So I've gotten away from my pull-ups, which is normal. You know, it was a goal for last year and I was very focused on it. And then when you set other goals, it's really easy to your brain to just set this one aside. And so I decided that in the month of August, that every time I go to the gym, starting after today, I didn't do it today because I was going to make my declaration on this call. Also was running out of time, so there's that. But starting after today, every time I go to the gym, I only go 4 days a week because I lift 4 days a week. And that's all the workouts I do. I am going to do 2 sets of pull-ups of some kind. So sometimes I'm just going to like pull up and hang. Sometimes I'm actually going to do my pull-ups. Sometimes I'm going to like jump up and lower myself slowly, but I'm going to spend a month working on them again, and I'm going to see what changes between now and then. I probably won't do it perfectly. I guarantee you, not every workout I'm going to want to do it and all the things, but I just want to see what happens by the end of the month. My goal is to, by the end of the month, to look back and see that I got better at consistency of doing things. It's not to have done it every day. It's to look back and say, all right, if I didn't do it, did I journal about why I skipped it? Did I work through excuses any this month? Like, did my excuse making get better this month? Like, I think some of y'all who've been sitting around just listening to me, you're not doing that stuff. You're not tracking, like, am I getting better at some of my emotional eats? Not because you don't eat, but like, is the triggers to overeat that I'm finding, are they improving? A lot of you just want to stop the overeating. And I'm like, no, how about we improve the triggers? And I bet you see that number just come on down. Okay, that's it for this week. I'll talk to y'all next week. Okay, that's the end of the podcast. Just so y'all know, we're not done with the call. All right, we didn't have any questions about it. So if y'all need to put anything in the Q&A, you can after this point. We can talk about anything. If you want coaching, go ahead and raise your hand now so we can do coaching. We can coach on anything. It does not have to be about consistency, but I would love it if anybody did want coaching on consistency because that is the theme of the month. But I don't have anybody with their hand raised and I don't have any questions. So if y'all just want to get out of here, or, oh, there we go. Jen, you're up. I was going to say, Karen's got some. I got social reels to record today. I've got a podcast, another podcast to record.
I can't believe I raised my hand and got caught. I'm a little shook it.
But no, I grabbed you first. All right. Well, because
But this actually kind of does relate to consistency, I think, because yesterday I did the course you recorded on Tuesday, which was great. If anyone hasn't done that yet, about getting started, I think it was Tuesday. And one thing that I realized listening to that, and I felt it in my body so much, was I am like terrified of goals. Like the thought of setting a goal, even as simple as I'm going to go 3 times a week to go walk 10 minutes, even though I do that, like the thought of having a goal is the visceral reaction I have in my body is I was just really surprised by it. As I like really intentionally started to think about what kind of goals could I set, it was, I've never set a weight loss goal. I just want to lose weight, you know?
So let me ask you this. If you let's say we were going to set a goal, and so what are you most afraid of? Let's say you and I set a goal. Let's say we're going to like just throw out a number of pounds you would like to lose. Just one out.
Let's say 50.
50 pounds. That's so funny. I was thinking 50 pounds. But I didn't want to plant seeds in your head. Well, you and I are on the same page then. All right.
Good
Let's
place.
say we're just pretending. So I don't want you to freak out. This is not something you have to do. Let's say, like, all right, Jen, like, you've got your 50-pound goal. I'll see you in, how long do you think it would take you to do it?
Oh, this is interesting what's coming up because I can lose weight really fast. Like the first thing that comes up is like, oh, I could do that fast if I just quit eating. So it's like I have to, the
Well,
goals
no,
are.
you actually can't. If you quit eating, I bet you wouldn't lose weight fast.
Yeah.
I
So
bet
if,
you would set up some binging.
yeah,
I bet you would
yes.
also, just so I just want to say this out loud for everybody. I bet you would set yourself up to regain it.
Yep.
Like, I like to always be careful about, like, oh, I could lose it fast. It's like, not really. That's not really what happens.
Yes, and everything you said has been the story of my life too,
Yeah.
is
All right, but
so, but let's
let's
say
just say
so
6 months.
yeah, 6 months.
Okay. We're just doing this for, like, I'm not making you do this. I literally just need an example to
Yeah.
use in this. Okay. All right. So we got a goal, 6 months, down 50 pounds. What are you most afraid of that will happen?
I think what's coming up is I would prove to myself, like if I failed, it would just be another way to show myself that I can't do this. And I know that's
You're
stupid,
most
but
afraid of just failing, period. Okay. Why are you afraid if, like, so this is what I think is happening. In your mind, a goal represents not just failure, it represents how you, like, when you said it'll just prove to myself this thought I already believe about me. Tell me right now if you checked in. What was the thought? You're afraid that I wouldn't, like, it'll just prove to myself I can't do it. Yeah. What do you think right now about losing weight?
I don't think I can do it.
Right.
Sorry.
So it's okay. Like, that's okay. I just want you to see right now that the reason why you don't want to set goals is because it's not that it's confirming you can't do it, it's bringing up a belief that we want to work on,
I know.
a way that you talk to yourself. Because here's what I think that if we were to work 6 months towards losing weight, we would have the ability to bring up everything that right now already feels horrible to you, and you're trying to outrun the horribleness by, well, if I don't set goals, then maybe I won't feel so horrible. And yet, I bet you think all the time about the things you would like to do. I bet you judge yourself when, like, if you aren't losing weight and stuff like that. It's not like we're escaping it. When we're running from it, we don't ever get to change the narrative.
And when you said outrunning it, that's like my body was like, yes, that's what we're doing. Like, that feels so true.
And all of you think about it, like, I know me, I don't run at all anymore. Running sucks.
It
Like, if
sucks.
you spend all your time just like, oh my God, I gotta run again. Oh my God, like, you get no time off. You're wore out all the time.
Yeah, and I am. And yeah, it's like everything that's what I treat with food then too, is that ex that the mental wear out. So I really like, is it I just really need to work on my thoughts about my ability or belief in myself.
That's one. I bet you there's 300 down in there. And I think that th this is for all of you. It's been so enlightening doing the Corinne one-on-one. Because, I mean, literally, in 5 days, answering 200 questions, I can already see a very clear pattern, which is y'all don't realize the power of messing up the basics. You all think you need to do them right. And I'm like, no, the goal has never been to do them right. The goal has always been, let's do them. Because if you can't wait for hunger, I want to know why. I want to know what in your life right now makes you want to eat when you're not even hungry. So we can, like, and like 90% of the time, the thing we got to fix most is what's going on in your head. It's not even the external. I coached several people this week on just the way they talk to them. Like, I'll give y'all a good example. I'm not going to say anybody's name, but, and I coach this every year. So, this one person, please don't feel called out. I was coaching a teacher. She's been a teacher for 30 years. She's had 30 rounds of starting the school year, overwhelmed, stressed, feeling like she's going to fail her students. And feeling not good enough and thinking there's way too much to do, and like she, all kinds of stuff. And so this time she had to learn, they had to go to some in service and learn something. And she was like, I don't get it. I feel so dumb. This just adds so much more stress and pressure to the start of the year, blah, blah, blah. I'm never going to be able to like get through the year. And I'm like, first of all, you've been a teacher 30 years? Is this the first year you had to learn something new? No. Every year they got to learn something new. Every year she says she's dumb. And every year after a few weeks, she figures it out.
Yep,
She
that
didn't
seems
realize
smart.
there's a messy part. The part where when I learn something new, I'm supposed to feel confused. I'm supposed to feel kind of like an idiot at times. It's supposed to feel kind of hard because I'm not used to it, not because I am an idiot. But that's the way she talked to herself. I asked her, how many times have you started the school year? And you were so behind that you had to tell your class, well, we can't open the doors. Y'all are starting 2 weeks late because I can't get my shit together. She's like, never. I said, oh. So you have 30 rounds of always being exactly on time, but this is the one time you're so behind. You're used to getting everything done by pressuring yourself. What if we can unlearn pressuring ourselves to get things done? Because the problem isn't that you don't know how to get things done.
Yeah, that pressure definitely, like I feel like that comes up with goals too.
Yeah.
Where
And
I
that
feel
comes,
like
right. And where does the pressure come from?
me.
Exactly.
Because I'm
Me. It's
desperate
like,
to use that to prove, yeah, it makes very good sense in my head
right.
now.
I'm desperate to use this as proof I'm either good enough or not good enough
Yep.
instead of. All I need to do on day one is start telling myself, this is what I'm going to do today. And I'm going to keep doing it till I'm good at it. And I don't expect to be good at it just yet. What I do expect is every type of emotional eating that I've been doing is going to come up. And that's going to show me exactly how I talk about myself and how I talk and my perception of the world around me. And if the way I talk about myself and the perception of the world around me brings me stress. If my perceptions pressure me, overwhelm me, make me anxious, frustrate me, make me feel hopeless, I don't need to change the world or my weight. I have to change the way I talk. Because feelings go down based on how you think. Feelings don't go down based upon results. It's just like, just think about anything you've ever, have you ever accomplished anything in life where you thought, once this is done, I'll feel so much better?
Yes, yeah, many things like going back to grad school and. Like I thought that that would give me the confidence to feel good in my job, but it didn't. I
Yeah,
needed to do
right.
that myself.
Exactly. But it's such a great example
Yeah.
of, there's no amount of things that I can do or accomplish in the world that will change how I think. The only thing that changes how I think is how I talk to myself.
Yeah. And I'm realizing now how much I like do things out of a need to, this word proof keeps coming up for me, that proof, like, no, I'm worthy, it's okay. Like how many of my actions are driven by a need to try to prove something or get self-worth by acting a certain way. And I think weight loss really plays into that too. So
Well,
I
how are
have,
you worthy right now?
how am I worthy? I'm really nice to other people. I'm very kind to animals. And I, logically think we're all very worthy just because we're humans, but it's hard to sometimes feel that.
Is it? Is it hard, or
I
are there a
resist
lot
it.
of times you're not talking to yourself about your worthiness?
I'm not challenging, I think, some of the beliefs I have absorbed that aren't mine. Like, I'm
Yeah.
fat, so I'm lazy, and I'm
I'm
fat,
going
so
to
I
tell
have
y'all
no
right now,
self-control.
that is one of the worst things out there. And I know men, like I say it online all the time, men kind of repeat it, but fat does not, some of the My mother was fat the entire time I was growing up. My mother worked two and three jobs at a time, raised two babies by herself from the age of 17 with almost no help. I remember my mother working graveyard and bringing us to hotels and putting us in the conference room on a rollaway and giving us her one free meal a day because it was the only meal anybody was going to eat that day. The last thing my mother was lazy.
That's a great example.
Exactly. And she had a weight issue because she thought horribly about herself. From the time I was born, she thought she'd fucked her life up. From the having a child at 17 made her think that something was wrong with her. She should be ashamed. She ate over that. Like, I love what you said. It's like to me, it's like, what if you just decided, I am setting a goal. I'm gonna lose 50 pounds in 6 months. But it's not about the 50 pounds. It's about in 6 months, I want to look back and I want to see that I have fucking changed my life. I feel better. I think differently. I've unraveled things.
I feel a little bit of hope.
Yeah. And you,
That
right. And you may or may not lose 50 pounds, but my God, let's say you just lose 40, you lost 40.
I'm not gonna be mad about that.
Exactly, because you're going to be feeling so much better. And you make a promise to yourself right now that no matter what happens, it's just between now and then, I'm going to want to give up. I'm going to have moments when that feels hopeless. I'm going to want to revert right back to how I always think. I'm going to think this isn't working. Like, we want to know all of that's supposed to come up. And my job is to work through it this time, not to run from it.
All right. Got my journal, so I'm gonna attack. I'm gonna do some journaling. This has brought up so much for me, so thank you. I'm coming
You're
to
welcome.
camp and I can't wait now even more. So
Well, all right. Between now and then, like, get started now and then use the shit out of my one-on-one.
I will do
Y'all
that.
can use, I literally, y'all use it as much. So many of y'all keep coming in there feeling guilty. They're like, I'm so guilty to even ask a question. I know you do so much. And I'm like, well, y'all quit fucking worrying about me. There's only one person in the world that needs to worry about me. That's Chris.
His job.
I'm the load on his back. I will handle my shit just fine. Y'all don't
I
worry about it.
have a lot of confidence in that. All right.
Yes.
Well, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome. Bye-bye. All right. Well, now all y'all got your hands up. Michelle, how do you get Corinne 365? Jean, if you're newer, you don't have it yet. That's something that you get after 90 days. Right now, your goal is to listen. You've got your little audio each day for how you lose weight. After that, you switch to Corinne 365, which is daily motivational lessons from me. So, just so you know, if you are past your 90-day mark and you don't have it, then you just go to the, if you go to the website, is Lori here? Is one of my team here? If somebody, oops, I'm like way down here. If somebody from my team is here, okay, Liz just put the link. Thank you, Liz. Liz is not even on the team, but she responded like a team member. She put the link to the podcast page in there, but you have to have been here 90 days for it to grant you your podcast verification stuff. All right, what we got there, Michelle? Look at
Is it
you
going to
out
be
walking.
distracting if I walk? Is it?
No, it'll be fine. As long as you're not like spinning your camera around. I get car sick real easy.
Okay.
That I can handle, but it's when people are like doing all of this stuff and I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to throw up.
If you're going to throw up, tell me. I'll stop.
I'll tell you. All right. What we got?
Something you just said really hit me with Jan, but I'm going to say what I was going to say first. And that
Okay.
is, I used to be really consistent. And I think the thought I had, and when I say consistent, it's about eating sweets. I've always incorporated them in my plan, in smaller portions. I've never went without, but I always thought if I wanted to eat more, it's not worth it. Like that was my thought. Like it's not worth it. It's, you know, my goal is more important to me.
Okay.
Lately, I haven't had that thought. It's been like, no, eating the sugar is way worth it.
Okay. Do you know why
But
you
it's
have that
not.
thought? Well, it
I mean, there's
is.
a
Like, let's think about it. If your brain now wants to think that means to your brain it's true for some reason, and we want to figure out what is the reason making that true right now so we can confront that.
Yeah, I mean, I've been sending you a couple messages in the one-on-one coaching, but I have a lot of things going on. I'm leaving a 20-year career. I'm starting my own business.
But what is the sweets worth it for? Think about it.
I feel like they make me feel better, like in the
And
moment.
what are they making you feel better about?
I guess not feeling good about or confident in myself with all the changes going on. Like,
Do you have a
sometimes I
lot of
feel,
change? Go ahead.
yeah, I feel like a fish out of water a little bit, and I'm trying to figure things out, and I don't feel confident in all the things changing, and so having the sweets or having the sugar makes me feel better.
Okay. So it's like all of this feels so uncertain when I eat dessert or sugar, whatever you want to call it. It makes me feel better about my life. It makes me feel better in the moment. It makes me feel like I get a break from all of this. Like just ramble about what you're thinking. You don't need the right answer, but if you ramble, the right answer will come out.
A break in the moment, feel better from thinking about all the things that I want to do or the things that I have to do in making the changes, you know, giving my notice and supporting myself financially without the job. And
So you probably have some scary or give me like if you were to think like the thoughts I have about putting in my notice and the thoughts I have about supporting myself, if I was to look at them all on a piece of paper, I'd probably feel what?
overwhelmed.
By the thoughts, or is it like if I was to list out my thoughts, I would say the predominant feeling next to all of them would be. Is it overwhelmed or is it?
It's not overwhelmed, actually. It's just like unsure, but meaning unsure, like I'm sure what I want to do, but unsure just all that's involved. Like I don't know what I don't know. So what's, you know, what's my life going to look like in the next 6 months?
So that's what, so I just want you to see that that is why you're turning to sugar now. Like to think like it's not doing anything for me. Y'all do that a lot. It's not doing anything for your weight loss, but it is doing something for you. And it there's nothing wrong with admitting, "Oh, every time I'm eating this, it's because right now I've got so much uncertainty about my future." So I want you to actually tell yourself that when you're eating it right now.
Okay.
Because here's what we can't do. We cannot predict your future. There's no way you and I can look 6 months, 12 months out and know exactly where you're going to be. We can set goals. We can work our ass off towards them. We can do all the things. But there's no circumventing the part of your brain that's like, but what if that doesn't happen? So here's a trick that helps with uncertainty like that. When you are in a position, and I do this all the time, it's called the three future trick. It is the first version is this is the best case scenario. So to me, like in, it, did you say in the next 6 months or how, what was your time frame?
I'm giving notice on Thursday and
And
going
then,
to leave my job around September 1st.
okay, but how far out do we want to look in
Oh,
terms of?
yeah, like 6 months.
Okay. So, with the first thing we do is we say, like, all right, in 6 months, If I do everything I think I will do, like if I, I'm putting in the effort to build this business, whatever it is that you're going to do, best case scenario, this is what happens. Then you do a worst case scenario that you do everything. The worst case scenario is this happens, and here's how I'm going to handle it if this happens. Because your brain always has a, like, the one thing our brains is good at is creating a worst case scenario. And it will be a crazy butt one. I mean, count on it. And you want to get that one out, because what we don't want to do is be afraid to listen to what our brain is really underneath the surface going and be like, oh my God, if you would just give me a piece of cake, I'd feel so much better. Okay. We want to hear it and let it have its say of this is really what I'm most afraid of in 6 months. Then you go in and you say, okay, if that's the worst case scenario, here's everything that I know I could do. Because what we want to do is give the scared part of us a soft landing place. The third one is, what is the most likely thing to happen in 6 months? Somewhere between best case scenario and worst case scenario is usually about where we typically land. And you just want to see that there are options, because uncertainty needs safety. When we're uncertain, it's our body's natural response to throw up fear. And then when we have fear, we crave safety. And so we want to give it some safety. And then you have to remind yourself all the time of your three outcomes. The other thing I would do, and I think this is always helpful, I do this all the time, is I write out, like, you're not going to know. Like, did you say you're building a business? I know I've asked you this three times now.
No, it's okay. Starting real estate, selling real estate.
Yes. Okay. All right. Yeah. We've been talking about this. You're the one that has the son and the social media and stuff. Okay. All right. All right. What you want to do is you won't necessarily know how every little step, but what you do know is here's how many hours a day I'm going to work. Here's, how I'm going to get myself back to work when I, like, when you're working for yourself versus working for the man, there is a learning curve of learning how to make yourself work independently. No one's now expecting shit from you. And your brain never worries that you won't be able to pay the bills. It'll be worried about the laundry. It worries about everything but the important stuff. And then when you try to go to bed at night, then it sits there and thinks like, oh, the stuff you didn't do today. It's like, why didn't you worry when we were doing the laundry? It just doesn't work like that. So there's like a steep learning curve of how to, you have to just think about, like, what are all the things I know I will have to do? It's not the social media and stuff. You will work on all that. That stuff you'll figure out just through trial and error. It's the hidden shit you got to look for. It's the stuff you're not even thinking that you've got to, like, man, like if my friends call and they know that I, am doing real estate now and they know I'm at home and they are like, oh my God, how about margaritas on Tuesday afternoon? You got to know how you're going to respond. You got to
Oh, for
know how,
sure.
you got to know, like, am I going to wake up in the morning and get to work, or am I going to dawdle? What am I going to do when I find I'm procrastinating? What am I going to do when I'm afraid I can't do it? What am I going to do? Like you were talking about social. What am I going to do when I'm like, I don't know what the fuck to tell these people? How am I going to talk to myself through all that? So much of the planning is who you're going to be, not what you're going to do. Because if you can be that, like, think about the person you got to be in those moments and get really good at that, figuring out what to do to build a business actually becomes immensely easier. What stands in the way is the fear. And we don't get to the figuring out of the doing because we're still trying to figure out, like, how to not be afraid to hit send on a social post or to DM someone that left a comment.
Been there.
Yeah. Oh, I know. I coach them coaches on building their own business. They're basically in the same. I got some real estate people too. They're all the same. Because if you're going to be trying to get business on the socials, the biggest thing like you have to overcome is your own fear of what people will think. And it will come in a variety of ways. It's going to really, I want you to think about this. Building your real estate business is just like when somebody tries to lose. It's like the last person. She's going to lose weight, 50 pounds in 6 months. The journey from here to there is going to bring up every negative thing she thinks about herself. It's going to bring up every judgment, every fear she has about this world. You building a business will do exactly the same. You having to put yourself out there will bring up everything you're worried about when about other people think. You building your business will bring up everything that you think you're not good at. Every stupid thing you tell yourself, it just brings all of it up. That's why most people quit. It's because it illuminates how we actually think about ourselves. And instead of like, oh, this is the opportunity to finally change how I think about myself, we go like, oh God, that's terrible, and we quit. Okay.
Okay.
And you know, you got like you've got a very skilled business person's brain. You've already paid for it. Nothing says you can't use it in your Korean one-on-one. If you need business advice, ask me.
I will be.
you'll be my what do they call that when you between the amuse bouche or whatever the little cleansing thing? You'll be my cleansing, cleanse my palate between all the weight loss questions.
I will send them your way. I will
All
cleanse your
right.
palate.
All right.
Thank
Good
you,
luck,
friend.
okay? You're
Thank
welcome.
you. Okay.
I have gained 40 pounds over the past few years. I keep thinking, let me try to get her down. Where did I get to? I keep thinking I need to go back to how I exercised every day and wouldn't miss a day. I don't know why I can't get myself to exercise again. I know my life is different now, but to me, that's a bad excuse. I don't think when your life is different, that's a bad excuse at all. So I say, why did I make this time before and now I can't find the time? Well, if your life is different, first of all, we just have to figure out, do you actually have the time or not? So I used to work out every day. I mean, I was a seven a day. Like I couldn't hardly stand it if I didn't work out every day of the week. Now, y'all, I was not grinding every day, but I went to the gym 7 days a week and I had what I called one day that was like a rest day where I would go, I'd do all my stretching, I'd do my walk. Like there was nothing hard. And then 5 days a week, I lifted weights. And one day was rocking cardio. Well, my life is not set up that way anymore. Hell, my joint structure is not even set up that way anymore. And I don't think that like I have to think about like when am I making excuses to not go to the gym? And when am I actually taking a realistic view of what's going on? Your life may, if your life is definitely not the same as it was then, that doesn't necessarily mean you need to be like her. It's just like when people say, you know, in my 30s, my early 30s and late 20s, I went to the gym every day. Well, then I had two kids. Well, you probably can't do, like, you can't dedicate the time to yourself and the time to the gym, like someone who had no care in the world but her own ass. Now you actually have more constraints in your life. Does it mean you can't work out? No. It means you have to quit comparing apples to oranges. If you keep thinking I should be like my old self with a different life, that's ridiculous. It's like, no, I need to figure out. What does it look like now? Because it's frustrating you, and it's frustrating you for a real reason. Your life isn't the same. So we need to really audit now and say, like, what could I do? And then if you can't get yourself to do that, you break it down even more until you break it down so small that you can get yourself started and you're going to build up to what you could be doing now. Just because you know what you could be doing doesn't mean we have to start at the top. We can always start really low and then get acclimated and used to doing it again and adding more as it makes sense and feels right until we get to this. It's just like somebody I was coaching the other day. This is a very different example, but it's really powerful. She's taking care of her mother who has Alzheimer's. And she was leaving there frustrated every day because her mother's like 80 years old. She's in assisted living and she has Alzheimer's. Now, if you're listening to this person, this is very common. So do not feel bad or anything. I have coached this for several women over the years. Like this is just very normal. She was leaving very frustrated every day because her mother didn't appreciate that she was coming 3 and 4 days a week to stay with her and take care of her, which is very normal because she's comparing apples to oranges. She's thinking her mother should be appreciative. Probably like what she would expect her mother to have been 20 years ago with a fully functioning brain. And so I asked one simple question, and I just said, how should an 80-year-old woman with Alzheimer's, how should she be appreciating you? Like, what should she be doing and saying? And she was like, wow. So often we just get caught up in thinking like apples and oranges, and I just don't understand why I'm so confused and why I'm so frustrated and stuff. Sometimes we're in completely different situations, and we need to look at it like completely different situations and adjust our expectations to what we have now. What is this season? What can I be doing in this season? Doesn't matter what I did in the last season. Doesn't matter what it used to be like. What matters is what is life like now. Because if I want the results now, I don't want to be diddling in my past. I want to be diddling in my present because my present creates my future. How I show up in my present is the only thing that creates the future. The past does not. It cannot create the future. It is not a repeat. It's just like we all used to, piss and shit our diaper. We stopped doing that. I know y'all think that's a crazy example. Like, oh, all kids learn how to do it. It's like, yeah, all kids eventually learn how to do it. You know what they do? They go through the messy phase. They forget a lot. They're not good at it. And then one day they finally become potty trained. And for the rest of their life, well, until they get really old and might. Like my poor grandparents, oh, those last days of or last months when they were going through cancer. But we go through the rest of our life being potty trained. Could you imagine if you woke up every day worried that you were going to shit your pants because you did when you were 3 years old? And yet, y'all will sit there and be worried you're going to blow your diet now because 10 years ago you blew one. 2 years ago, you blew one. It's like, so what? Turn your brain around and tell it, bitch, what matters is what we do today. And teach your brain to stop focusing on the past. Teach your brain how to be in the present. It wants to go to the past because you keep letting it go there without interruption. Without telling your brain why it's better to think about today. Don't ever tell, come on here like, but my brain keeps going to the past. I don't give a fuck. Welcome to everybody else's brain. Do you want to complain or do you want to fix it? Because we can't do both. So if you don't want to go to the past anymore, you have to get really good at knowing when you're doing it. And you have to tell yourself, we're focusing on today. The past is irrelevant. I don't care how true it feels. I don't care how real it feels. And I would tell myself that. I know it feels true. I know it feels real. And I know why. Because I don't ever expect myself to think anything different. That is the only reason why anything will ever feel true. It is the only thing. It's just like they say, if you curate your social feed to never see anything but like if I made all of you, let's just say your political beliefs, whatever your political belief is right now. If I made all of your social feeds and you were going to spend, let's say, an hour a day on the socials, and I was going to say, like, all right, whatever your political belief is, you only get to see the opposite for the next year. You turn on the news, you only get to see the opposite for the next year. Studies show that whatever is repeated over and over again, like people's political beliefs will change just based on what they watch over and over again, what they believe about themselves. Like, if you like, think about this. If you live with a narcissistic asshole for 10 years and all you hear is what a loser you are, you start believing it, right? Well, if I put you with the world's greatest man for 10 years, who every fucking day tells you how glorious you are, you probably start changing your opinion. You didn't change at all. What you heard changed. That's why you believe the shit in your head. You never change the channel. You're like dialed in to bullshit network. And you never go to a new one. Enlightenment network, whatever you want to call it. So if you want to believe something different, you got to listen to something different. And in order to hear it, you got to tell it to yourself. Because nobody's coming to tell it to you near enough. There's no human in the world that can live with you and tell you this enough times to outweigh the amount of the 60,000 thoughts you have a day. That is a you job, not anybody else's. All right. Judith? I wish I could see my notepad. The other day I was in a meeting and there was a part that didn't pertain to me. I was like practicing my cursive handwriting, old school. It is so ugly. And I was showing it to Chris. I was like, man, took me a while to figure out how to make a cursive B. I've forgotten all about how to do one. Chris and I are on this big kick where we're trying to learn to write cursive again because we've heard it's good for your mind. And I'm like, all right. So anyway, Judith, so glad to see you.
It's good to see you too. The cursive thing, I've always been told that cursive writing allows your thoughts to flow as opposed to manuscript, that you have to do very discrete movements. And in 2006, when I had a severe car accident and my brain was really scrambled, I had a very difficult time with cursive handwriting because I couldn't keep the thoughts going. Yet I could do a letter at a time. Okay, so that's
That's
all in there.
interesting.
Yeah,
Yeah,
it
that's
really
interesting.
it is. So, okay, the theme that seems to be going through today, or the comment, the thought that had me raise my hand was living in the messy. And that's kind of where I am. No, not kind of. I am. I've been coached recently with Coach Lizzie. All your team is wonderful. You, your team, everybody. And she was the one in the last coaching call that I did that shared the butterfly image of change from Martha Beck in the imago stage of, being in the messy. You're not a caterpillar anymore and you're not a butterfly yet. Okay.
Yes.
And I decided, realized like I'm just in this mess. All right. You've also coached me through one-on-one about not tasting my food. And
Okay.
so that's part of the mess too. All right. But right now I am living in the messy. I acknowledge that. And part of it is the people in my life who have always been my cheerleaders and my support network. Okay. They're no longer here.
physically. They've died. My dad was my number one cheerleader. My mom before then, but my mom's been gone for 30 years. Dennis, my partner, was my daily person. All right. And I'm a cheerleader for a whole lot of people. Okay.
Right.
And I am cheerleading myself to the extent of, I'm not beating myself up over this. I'm just like, you're in a messy spot. Life has changed. Okay.
Yes.
And I want, moving forward isn't the right term, but I know that it's time to make more of a change than I have put forth.
Okay, that's good.
But I'm not sure how to do it, if that makes sense.
What are you wanting? Like, tell me one thing that you want to change.
I want to feel myself. I want to be the vibrant person I am out in the world. I put on a good mask, but I want to be that vibrant person for me at home when it's just me.
Okay, so what do you think it's going to take to do that?
Well, when I'm out in the world, I do it because that's what's expected of where I am. Okay. The people in my work world, like I'm one of the veteran people, I'm one of the oldest, I am the oldest person in our office, and I'm the one that has the most experience. So I'm the one that everybody is like, okay, how do we handle this case of speech? How do we handle that one? I want to be that for myself at home, of not just sitting in the chair going, well, I'm not happy with what I'm doing, but I don't know what I want to do.
Okay.
I
So
like,
step one is we have to figure out what we want to do.
okay.
Wouldn't you say?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, that would be good. And I've, like, in the past, I have enjoyed cross stitching, and right now my wrist is an issue. Okay. So crafts are a thing that have given me joy before. So then it's just finding something different, I'm going to guess, like looking at it from a craft perspective, but finding a new one.
I think that will, it's not that you didn't enjoy it, but when you talk about being a vibrant person to myself, I think we
Do
got to
something
figure out.
different. Like, I really do like going out and, talking with people and eating, and used to do it a lot. I was, but I did it with Dennis.
So one
So,
thing is you got to learn how to do it by
by
yourself.
myself.
Okay, so that's really our step one.
Okay.
We already know what we want. We want to go out again, and we've got step one is, all right, I have to make plans to go out, and I have to learn how to do this by myself, which means the first few times I go out, I will be nervous. First few times I go out, it will feel awkward as fuck. The first few times I go out, I will think this sucks because Dennis is not here. So I think
Okay.
step one is we have to, like, we're going to go out. Step two is we're going to come up with all the shit that the messy part that will come up and
Before.
have a plan for that. Like, I knew that I would probably miss Dennis because I used to go out with him. Like going out probably will trigger memories and missing and grieving. So how do I want to be there for myself? Because that's the part I want to do. I want to do that.
And that is the part that I'm avoiding.
Right, because we don't want to feel bad.
I'll be like, okay, I'm gonna go out today. And then, yeah, then I start thinking about it and go, oh, no, it's okay. I'll just Uber something. I'll just DoorDash
And you just want
something.
to remind yourself in that moment, I'm going out today. I might feel bad because it'll trigger the memories, and I'm going to learn how to go out again, and it will feel good again, but it won't feel good immediately.
Okay.
Because this is what I, probably what I would tell, like, I just want to ask you, how awesome does it feel right now to be sitting at home and not going out?
It don't feel good either.
Right. Both are going to feel bad, except one is going to let you feel your feelings. And on the other side is the life you want. This one doesn't allow you to feel your feelings. It's creating safety from some feelings, and it keeps you from the life you want.
Didn't think about it that way.
Well, that's why you have me.
It is. It is. All right. All
Let's
right.
just start with that. Like to be
Okay.
vibrant again, let's start with one step. Let's go out again and let's transverse the things that like, and you like, you've been around long enough. You know how to write about, here's what I'm probably going to experience. I want to make
Right.
this very predictable. I want to make it so that, 'cause your brain kind of knows what to expect, but it's so deep in there, you just know that you're like, oh, well, it's easier to order Uber Eats. And
Right.
when we write about like, this is probably all the things that will come up, I'm not going to be caught off guard when it happens. And I can expect it. And I would also tell myself, and it won't be as bad as I'm probably imagining. You know, our brain will want to imagine, like, oh my God, that's going to be horrible. Why would you ever put your brain, you know, why would you put yourself through
Right.
that? Once you admit
Right.
it, you have to tell your brain, like, I don't think it's going to be as bad as we're imagining. Our brain is really good at imagining worst case scenario to protect us. It's not good at imagining reality. It
That's
never
true.
wants to imagine the reality. Like, you know, when I was talking earlier, there's a best case scenario, a
Yes.
worst case scenario, and then there's a middle that usually is about
Yep.
where we land. You can even do that. Worst case scenario, I go to a restaurant, cry my eyes out in front of a whole group of people, and they make me leave. Best case scenario, I meet a group of friends and we start meeting every week, you know. Reality or the middle is I go, it's a little rough, I eat, I come home, and I survive just fine. I might even, you know, meet someone and have like a friendly exchange, not like a bestie, but just like my son Logan. I swear to God, that child, he has friends every, he's always telling us about all
Everywhere.
these. Yes. And it's because he goes to restaurants over and over again. He doesn't even drink. He sits at the bar. He goes to Carrabba's. Like, he's got all these restaurants. I mean, some of them don't even have a bar, but he goes frequently at the same times all the time. And he has made a ton of friends. He's taking Mammy tonight to meet some lady named Chrissy that works at Carrabba's, that, and he takes her to the, like, other day, he's like, I'm taking Chrissy to the airport. She's got to go out of town. He took, forget what her name, Ella. I think her name's Ella. He took her and her kids to the airport yesterday. Like, I'm just like, who are these people? He's like, they're my friends. Like, all right. My mother asked me, she said, have you met these people? My mother is such a, like, she only, like, Mammy scans for danger. That's all Mammy
Right.
knows. The world is horrible, and you're just waiting to, you're just trying to stay safe. And I said, no, I've not met these people. She's like, don't you think you should meet them? I said, Mama, I was like, Logan has to figure himself out. The one thing that I know is that he doesn't need his mother approving of his friends at 23 years old. It's like, I know he
Right.
has autism, but at some point, we have to let him make mistakes. He has to figure things out. And we have told Logan, here's warning signs of people who aren't good. And Logan has a relationship with us where, and his autism plays into this very well. It's kind of like, here's the rules people shouldn't, like, of the, this is the rules people shouldn't break. Like, they shouldn't steal from you. They shouldn't ask you to go smoke pot. They shouldn't do these things. And
Right.
the first time he had a friend that was breaking rules, he came and told
He
us.
came, right.
He came and told us and said, "Hey, like this girl, like let me tell you what she's doing. I don't think this is right. And I don't think we should be friends anymore because I don't want to get in trouble." And I was like, "You have nailed it on the head, son." So I told my mother, I was like, "We can trust Logan. Logan has really good judgment of people, you know." So anyway, I didn't mean to like tell you all about my son, but
No,
if you go to
that's
some restaurants, eat you some salads. This is not a gateway to nachos and burgers.
no. And
But
I am paying attention to the tastes. I honestly am. Which has been very, very different. So yeah, going out to eat now will be very different. As a matter of fact, so and then I will stop. But went out last week with friends. I had cousins that were in town. Went and had what was a beautiful looking breakfast. I had a creme brulee filled waffle with fruit and all of this stuff on it, and it looked beautiful.
That's
I
awesome.
tasted, but it felt good in my mouth. Okay, there was
There you
a
go.
party going on because it felt good, but I was like, I know things I can taste, and none of those were any of them, but I really liked creme brulee. And it was like, okay, so yes, all right, I will start going out and I
Okay.
will be conscious of what I'm eating, and I will try to find some. I will have a salad with a protein because protein ain't my thing either.
Okay. Well, yes, get your protein
All
in.
right. Well, thank you so much. Thank you for one-on-one. I'm looking forward. I'm going to virtual camp. So, looking
Awesome.
forward to that. But thank you to you and your team for everything that you do.
Oh, thank you. We'll see you later.
See you later. Bye.
Man, I'm just having a good time coaching y'all today. Y'all are, those are some good topics. Shanna. One of my good friends is named Shanna. She lives down the street now. She just moved, like, literally down the street. She might be a quarter mile from me. If we had fucking sidewalks in Nolensville, I could walk to her house. But you know, we're a small town. We ain't got no sidewalks. They don't give two shits about us. All right, Shannon, what can we do today?
Hi, Corinne. So this is my third time joining NOPS, and I joined last month, and I'm already to the point where I'm so glad that you were talking about consistency, because that's what I was just thinking. Well, I've kind of dropped off from listening to the podcast, and what threw me for a loop last time was the 24-hour plan. And so as soon as I got to that point where I needed to start making a 24-hour plan, I felt like it just, it really, I just kind of, I don't have any consistency. Like I'll do it one day and then I don't do it the next day.
And why is that a problem?
Well, because I'm not getting the results that I want to get. Like, I've only released a couple pounds in the month that I've
Right,
been.
but that's not because you're inconsistent with the 24-hour plan.
I'm definitely overeating.
Well, it's not that. It's because you're not looking into what is it. So are you just forgetting to do the 24-hour plan, or do you not want to do the 24-hour plan? Like, so let's just break it down this way. With the 24-hour plan, you said, "I'm inconsistent with it." Is it because you forget? Or is it because it's like, no, I remember. I'm like, oh, hell no.
Yeah, I honestly I forget. I did also just get diagnosed with ADHD at 57, which is crazy to me, but I am on a low dose medication and
That
that
is not
does
crazy at
help.
all. I am researching the shit out of that. So many high functioning women, I think I have it. I'm not going to go bother and get tested and stuff. I feel like I'm at a point where I have somehow created the systems I need, and I'm learning more about it. And I'm like, well, I kind of organically created a lot of systems that make like my team. My assistant emailed me today and she said, "Hey, I was looking at your Asana board." And she said, "I would organize it this way. I have no idea why you have it organized the way you do." And I explained it to her and I was like, "Don't touch my Asana board. It makes perfect sense to me."
Yes.
Gotta be
Yes.
making sense to nobody but this crazy brain.
Yes, that's very much how I am, like with work and stuff too. Yeah.
So with the 24-hour plan, if we're just forgetting because we have ADHD, then we just need to come up with a system to where it's easier for you to remember to do it. And not
Yeah.
even just remember, but to have triggers to do it instead of relying on your memory. So I like some of the things that I do naturally that I didn't even realize I do is like important things I leave out in the open. I don't like if I am going to do my 24-hour plan, I better have the no BS thing right on my home screen. And it needs to be next to like the like Instagram. It needs to be
Yeah.
something next to whatever I'm going to hit all the time because I'm going to need to see it. I'm not going to just always remember it, or I need an alarm to go off because my brain's not good at not having cues. Just like today,
Yes.
I didn't know that I was supposed to do a podcast recording because no one gave me a reminder. I was literally working out, and all of a sudden, it was like something in the back of my brain was like, is this the month we start doing the podcast? I was like, oh, fuck. And so I'm at the gym in between sets writing the lesson. Got it done. I mean, I can get things done, but we want to work with your brain. So we want to try to, because the problem is if you don't do the 24-hour plan, we don't know when you are just eating things emotionally.
Yes.
We don't have a way of capturing what prevents you from losing weight, which is, if you're switching foods, if you are like, with our new wellness tracker, do you use the wellness tracker at all? Have you seen that yet?
Yes, I did sign up and start using that. That's another thing. Again, I'm just not consistent with using it, but when I do use it, it's very helpful. And I did reach out to Coach MJ because I did realize I do have a lot of emotional eating, or just even knowing when I'm satisfied is that until like a little while later, and then I'm stuffed and miserable, and I'm like, oh, I was way satisfied, you know? But
So just so that you understand, I don't want you to say I'm not consistent with it. I want you to say I haven't done it enough for it to become a like a part of my routine. I've not done it long enough in order for it to be something I'm even going to remember, or I haven't done it long enough to say like, oh, it's not going to work. Like I'll forget if it's not on my home screen, or that didn't even work. I'm not going to be able to remember unless I'm setting reminders. Like I'm going to have to hear like a bullhorn go off first thing in the morning. It's like 24-hour plan, 24-hour plan in order for me to remember.
Yeah.
Because partly ADHD, but part of it's just what we were talking about in the beginning. This is just how it works. Your brain, whenever you have anything new, goes through a long period of forgetting. It's not supposed to just automatically remember because, like, oh, well, I signed up for no BS. Why? And I listened to that one video Corinne put out. Why do I not remember to do my plan every day? It's like, well, you're not supposed to, but you're not supposed to beat yourself up and you're not supposed to quit doing it because of that reason. You're supposed to be like, oh, I just realized I forgot to do a plan today. The best way to teach my brain to plan every single day is the second I notice I didn't do it. Open my wellness tracker, plan the rest of the day. Backfill whatever I can remember. I don't care if it's accurate or not. All I'm trying to do is teach my brain it's okay if right now I'm in the messy part. It's safe to be messy. It's okay to start the second I remember. I don't have to throw it all away. I don't have to quit. I don't have to wait for a perfect month to start. No, I don't have to do any of that stuff. My job, your main job right now, just with the 24-hour plan, is to teach yourself it's not a big deal if you forget. It's a really big deal if you give up, though, because you're in the normal part of the process.
Yeah, I don't want to give up. I really want to work this. I've see the value in it. I've followed you for years. I've listened to you for years. It's been very helpful in other areas of my life as well. And when I was with No BS previously, I did release 25 pounds. And then during COVID, I gained all of that back. And then some. So I do definitely see the value, and I love the idea of, because I usually remember when I'm like at work, or I'm like, oh, I forgot my plan today, when I'm thinking about what I'm going to eat for lunch. And I like that idea of just opening up the tracker and putting it in. What I was doing was just saying, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. And I have,
No. Leave breakfast blank if you didn't eat breakfast, or if you remember what you ate for breakfast, just plug in what you ate for breakfast. There's no way to lose in this, basically. I don't care if you bitches remember 2 minutes before you eat lunch. Train your brain, it's never too late. Train your brain to say, like, oh, well, I can just think ahead. I'm going to be eating in 2 minutes. I wonder what that will be. And I put it in. We want to train our brain that it is okay to do this in a lot of ways. We don't want to train our brain. It's one way or the highway, bitch. That's the way a lot of y'all end up being. One thing I did want to say about your enough, that I do know this from ADHD. Sometimes I don't even, there's a fancy term for this. I don't know what it is, but for some people who have ADHD, reading your body cues for like hunger and enough can be really hard. It's almost like you don't really read them well. If that is the case, then what you want to do, and you can do this in your tracker, is when you eat, note, like just for your own, I'm not talking about weighing and measuring, note about how much you ate. Like, you know, like if, like most of us, we eat a lot of the same shit over and over again. And we can kind of say, like, well, I normally eat on my flour plate, and I was eating on my flour plate, and it was pretty full. And I had mac and cheese, chicken, and green beans. Then, if you notice you're full later, you come back and you make a note. Next time, use a smaller plate. So, you may not like what you can do over time is adjust serving sizes and adjust things you're doing. And get a visual stopping point versus an internal stopping point. And then while you're doing that, like as you start dialing in, like, oh, now I don't have that sensation 20, 30 minutes later. When you start eating like that amount of food, you pay attention when you're done and be like, what do I notice in my body now? It's just like you, and you, it's just like you're just gonna have to, and this is for most of us, we have to do this. It's that ability to be able to just keep notes on what you're noticing so that you start giving yourself breadcrumbs of what to notice. But it takes time. You know, this is not like you're gonna listen to one lesson on enough and be like, well, why the fuck can't I stop it enough? You know, why don't I hear my body signals? You may have a really good reason why you don't hear your body signals. So we want to come up with a system for you that works.
That's a great idea. That is one thing that, because a lot of times I won't eat breakfast and I'll get to work and I'll feel like I have a headache and just don't feel good. And I'm like, oh, I didn't eat breakfast. And so then I'll eat something, and then sometimes because I have waited, I'll overeat because I'm super hungry. I don't realize I'm really hungry until I start eating, and then I'm like, oh, I'm actually really hungry. So.
That's where for ADHD people in particular, planned eating actually works really well. What overwhelms ADHD people is when there's a lot of just like rigidity to the plan. So giving yourself like, all right, my tendency is to be rushed in the morning and to forget to eat. So I need easy options. I need things that I could just grab. I need a reminder to eat breakfast. I'm going to have to time eat. My body is not reliable right now. it like I only notice when it's in panic mode. Once my
Yes.
body tips to emergency, the building's on fire. It's like we don't want to wait for that. We'd like I can we just smell smoke? Can we get to that?
Yes.
So you might want to do like preventative maintenance, which is you have easy grab options. I know, like me, I've got to have easy breakfasts. My
Yeah.
mornings are batshit crazy most of the time, and I'm trying to get to the gym. And most of the time, by the time I get to the gym, I'm running late. I'm always running late. I can make it to my meetings on time, but man, the window between me waking up and getting work done, gym, shower, meeting, I am like a maniac. It is like the, you remember the old Tasmanian devil?
Yes.
It's me all morning long. I'm just like that. So
Yeah.
I have to have like stuff in my fridge or in my pantry that I can just grab because my tendency is to put too much in my mornings and override hunger. And then all of a sudden I need to eat. And I don't want to be having a Martha Stewart moment when that happens. Like, I need to have like hard-boiled eggs and a banana on the counter. That's the best I can do. I need to have one thing we keep is protein shakes in the fridge. And
Yeah.
we keep like bananas. I keep bagels, like a protein shake and a bagel, like done. You know, like I just keep things that I know that my tendency is to always be running behind. So I'm gonna be prepared for that. Like, Corinne ain't changing no time soon. I don't even know
Yeah.
if Corinne can change that. If I have ADHD, it's probably not something that's in my control to change because my brain is wired differently. So I want to set up systems that work for my brain, not systems that work for Chris's brain, who is very linear and very, you know, that man is never the Tasmanian devil. He's more like a sloth. I always
Yes.
tell him, I'm like, oh my God, Chris, you move at glacier pace. Like, God. Just drives me crazy. It's like when we're trying to get someplace, like I have to really manage my mind.
Yes.
Just saying.
Yes, I can relate. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, I
All
sure
right.
appreciate that. That's some great advice, and I will keep going.
Yes, you will. All
Thank
right. Thank
you.
you. All right. All right. Let me get this last question and we are done for the day. Yeah, I'm taking Mammy to dinner. Oh, wasn't there a new ADHD thing you were working on? I'm studying ADHD. I'm not actually working on a program or anything just yet. What I am doing is studying ADHD. And then as I'm redoing some of our stuff over the next few months, we're incorporating some of those special tactics in so that, like, if you're listening to No BS, you're listening to anything in some of the newer stuff that will be coming out. You'll see some of that infused where there are like different techniques for like just different styles of how people's brains work and stuff. I'm happy to volunteer as your lab rat. I've been on meds and compensating in other ways since I was 17. Oh, Rebecca, if you would, you could do this. And this is for anybody with ADHD. If you would write into Help Scout, which is our customer service department, that's PNP Tribe, wait a minute, support at pnptribe.com. And tell them, get this to Corinne. This is ADHD stuff. If you will, like, for those of you who've been coming up with creative systems, or this is how I make No BS work for me and stuff like that, will y'all send some of that in? Because I would be very interested in that. And I probably could include some of that in just some of the stuff that I'm also learning. I'd be immensely grateful for anything on that stuff. All right. Y'all have a good one. I will see y'all next weekend. And between now and then, watch the consistency stuff. I would love for all of you to kind of like, I don't want you to set a goal by the end of the month. I want you to think about what is something I would like to be consistent with. And I don't want it to be your four basics. I want you to think about something that, like, are you not consistently going to ask coaches when you know you need it? Are you consistently not going to the why did I eat quiz when you know you've had an overeat? Or maybe think about, am I consistently paying attention to my inner self talk. Like, could by the end of the month, could I know just because I was like really paying attention and I was like, I'm going to be consistently listening and reminding myself to listen as often as possible. Could I know by the end of the month, like, oh my gosh, no wonder I'm eating. No wonder I'm blocked. I'm saying these things or believing these things, and I'm going to go get help on that. Or I notice that I'm like, maybe I want to be consistent with pivoting my thinking as often as I can. I would love for y'all to challenge yourself in that way. I think it's very easy to be a streak chaser. And, I would love for y'all to use the wellness tracker every day to track all these things. But I would like for y'all to expand how you challenge yourself. I think so many of you want to be consistent with just following rules instead of like, let's get consistent with knowing why we don't follow the rules so that we can clean up fears and anxieties and the stressors and the pressure that we put on ourselves. We clean all that up, I guarantee you can lose weight a lot easier. All right. Y'all have a good one. See you next week. Bye.